5. Kof Zion Adoration, Monday the 7th of March, Rabbi Shia Chaitovsky. My illustrious Zeder, the beloved Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, on his 3rd Yahrzeit.
First of all, I just want to make a small correction that it's his 4th Yahrzeit, not his 3rd.
Reading is not believing.
Rav Scheinberg was born Chav Zayin Odor, Chav Zayin Elul, in 1910. And he was Nifter on Chav Zayin Odor on 2012. It's very interesting that if you just make a fast calculation, he lived till 101 and a half to the day. From Chav Zayin Elul to Chav Zayin Odor. Chav Zayin is Zoch, it's pure. And it's interesting, we don't know the Cheshbonus of Hashem, but it's interesting that a symbol of my grandfather Zatzal was Zoch, that he was pure. But I want, because we're in the period of Odor, so I want to incorporate this with at least something, even though usually I speak on the Megillah, so something I have to say on the Megillah, which will have something to do with my grandfather. The truth is, it's my grandfather, not from birth. I was born in Springfield, Massachusetts, and I went to Yeshiva Torah Das. In Springfield, Massachusetts, there was no even high school. At the age of 12, my parents sent me away to New York, and I learned in Yeshiva Torah Das. And I was there till 19. I went through high school. And I went to Eretz Yisrael looking for an American yeshiva. Unbeknown to me, there was no such thing as an American, there was no such thing as a Chutz Laaretz yeshiva in Israel, except one. People didn't know this, that in 1965, 6 years before I came, an American, a Chutz Laaretz yeshiva was established in Israel. It was the first one. And that was made by Rabbi Scheinberg. Why did he make this yeshiva? Because his father-in-law, Rabbi Herman, said that he had, Rabbi Herman, everyone knows the book, All for the Boss, so he was Rabbi Scheinberg's father-in-law. And he had immigrated, that was his wish, his whole life was to come to Eretz Yisrael, and he emigrated and settled in Eretz Yisrael. And he was always pushing, he says, there's a place for an American boy in Israel. If you don't make a yeshiva that will speak English, Americans have to have a place in Israel. So influenced by that, in 1965, he opened up the first American yeshiva in Israel. And the truth is that Atzas Hashem Yisokum, Rav Scheinberg Zatzal was really the reason why there came so many Americans to Eretz Yisrael. So many from England, from all over. Because until that time, if you had a Shiloh and you didn't know Hebrew or Yiddish, you were stuck. You had no one to talk to. You had no one to ask a Shiloh. But once Rav Scheinberg came there, it was very interesting that people used to go to the Stipler, Zatzal, Rabbi Yosef, in the early days, and they would try to break their teeth to ask Hashem, don't come to me. You have Rabbi Scheinberg who knows English. Go to him. They knew that he was there for the Chutz Lord's people. So I came in 1971 to Eretz Yisrael, and the only yeshiva I found that was suitable for me was Torah Or. And Baruch Hashem, after 5 years being in the yeshiva, I married Rabbi Altuski, Zatzal's daughter, and that's how I became Rabbi Altuski. Rabbi Altuski, the Chedushi Basra, was the son-in-law of Rav Scheinberg, so I became a grandson-in-law to Rabbi Scheinberg. But I want to discuss something on the Megillah, very interesting. The Gemara says in Shabbos that Klai Yisrael, at the time of Har Sinai, they said, Naaseh v'nishma. They're accepting the Torah. But then the Pasuk says, Vatesatzav betachtes ahor, that they were under the mountain. What does it mean under, that they gathered under the mountain? So the Gemara says, Hashem took Har Sinai, raised it up on the Jewish people, and said, you have a choice. Either accept the Torah, or you're finished. Here's you're going to be your burial site. They were forced to accept the Torah. So the Gemara says that because of this, Jews had an excuse that if anyone will come and ask, why aren't you keeping the Torah? I was forced. My daughter, Abu Lahrai, said that they have an excuse. Until the time of Mordechai and Esther, that it says, Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim, that the Jews accepted the Torah Baratzo. That's what the Gemara says. You look at the Gemara and it makes absolutely no sense. Number one, why did Hashem have to raise the mountain and almost kill them? They said, Naaseh v'nishma. And number two, if they were forced to accept the Torah, so what was so special? I mean, through all the generations, you look, oh boy, Megillas Esther, Mordechai, now they're accepting. Like, what has to do Megillah with accepting the Torah Baratzo? It makes no sense. So to answer all this, there's an unbelievable Medrash Tanchuma. They give such an insight and such a lesson for all of us. The Medrash Tanchuma says in Parshas Noach, when Klai Yisrael said Naaseh v'nishma, they were mekabel Torah shebiksav. Torah shebiksav, we are mekabel Naaseh v'nishma. But Hashem said, you know, there's also Torah shebal peh. Oh, what's Torah shebal peh? Well, it's going to be given down from Talmidei Chachamim to Talmidei Chachamim, and whatever they say, that's what you have to do. Wait a second. What says in the Torah, I know Hashem said it. But this time when Chacham comes and says, how do I know that Hashem said that? Well, a majority gets together, that's what Hashem says. It's not so easy for people to lower themselves. I have a mind, and I think this is right. And sometimes they come and say, no, you have to do this. I don't agree. If a bas kol comes, Hashem says, this is what you have to do, I hear. But some Rabbanim come and say, I'm going to just blindly just follow, like sheep after a shepherd. That wasn't easy for Klai Yisrael to accept. So Hashem picked up a mountain, Tarshim Al Peh, that's given to all the sages of the generations. It says in the Torah, Al Tosser Mimashi Yegiru Chayim in Israel, do not swerve from what the Chachamim say in every generation. That is Ratzon Hashem. That wasn't so easy. And that they were forced. Now we have a little bit understanding what was happening at Purim. At Purim time, there were many problems. There was a suit of Achashverosh. Mordechai said, don't go to the suit of Achashverosh. What do you mean? It's Pikuach Nefesh. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Fanatic, we're going. We're right. We know better than the Das Torah. Later on, Haman becomes great, makes himself an Avodah Zarah, and Mordechai decides not to bow down. Fanatic! He's lost his mind! This is the Rabbanim here! Out comes Xerah. You see? Front pages. You see? This is what he brings on us. Mordechai comes out, everyone do tshuva. And then comes the Yeshua that everyone saw. Clearly, everyone saw the whole time that the reason why there was a Xera, because I'll explain, there were sins at the time of the Buchanetzar, Jews bowed down. Same thing. Hanani, Mishael, Azai said, don't bow down, they bow down to the Avodah Zarah of Nebuchadnezzar. They went to the suit of Achashverosh. That was the problem. Just the opposite. The Mesiris Nefesh of Mordechai brought the Yeshua. They clearly saw that every step of the Talmidei Chachamim was Emes V'Yatziv. That's why they put up the white flag. Yes, Talmidei Chachamim bring the Yeshua. And never, never question that we must go after the Das Torah. And that's why it was Kimu v'Kiblu HaYehudim. They saw what Das Torah means. That Das Torah is the only source of salvation. Unbelievable insight in the Megillah. My grandfather, Zatzal, was a Das Torah. But I want to go a little bit back and give some, like, how was he Zocha to be such a giant? You know, when my grandfather was born in 1910, he was born in a Polish town, Ostrov. And he was born, and there was no father there. His father had run away a half a year before because he saw that they were ready to send him off to the army, the Polish army. So he ran away from the Mesiris Nefesh to America to escape the Polish army. And his thought was, he'll establish himself. It wasn't easy for him. He could not find a job, because any time he found a job, He had to work on Shabbos. And come Friday, he's not coming in, the next day he's fired, and he saw that it's not going. So he finally made a cleaning store that he could have his own hours. He called himself a CPA. What's a CPA? Cleaning, pressing, and alterations. That was his store. Finally, after a few years, he amassed enough money to bring his family over. But unfortunately, the First World War broke out. And because the First World War broke out, he wasn't able to bring his family till 1919. Meanwhile, young Chaim Pinchas was born, and there was no father, and the mother wanted, you know, the boy became 3, 4, wanted someone to teach him alephbeis. Poverty was so, there was no father, the mother was alone. So the mother wanted to have a Rebbe learn with him. So she went out early in the mornings, and she was mashkiach on milk. She got milk from the Goyisha farmers, Cholav Yisrael, that she would watch the milk, and take it and sell it on the market. There was one night that she was there, and the Goy was a little drunk, whatever, he was in a rage, and he knew that she was with her sister getting the milk, and he came out with an axe to try to kill them. And Baruch Hashem, they just noticed, they came into the barn with an axe to kill them, because he was a little drunk, and you know, it was parnas, they were paying him, whatever, but that's how it was. It was, you know, drunk Jews, I want to kill them. And they ran away from Mesiras Nefesh. So this, that she was selling milk just to get a little money, all just to have a Rebbe to teach their son. When he was 5, so he was alone. I mean, they were living by the grandparents. Lil Chaim Pinchasel came to his grandfather and said, I see you go early in the morning to go to shul. I want to go to shul with you. Can you tie? In those days, they had shoes with buttons. No, clothes with buttons. And he didn't know how, he wasn't able to close the buttons. Can you close the buttons so I could go to shul with you? So the grandfather said, you should know, he's a boy of 5 and he wants to go to shul every morning. He doesn't even know how to dance, but he just wants to be in shul. He's going to become a great man. This was all the Mesiras Nefesh of his mother. At the age of 9, they came to America. And, you know, like all, you know, he was in America and he saw, when he was 9, his father put him to public school. That was the time, we're talking about 1919. They go to public school the whole day, and then at night, in the afternoon, they would learn, he would get a Rebbe to teach his son a little bit. That's what people used to do then. A few months later, a principal called up the father, that it seems he got into a fight. Chaim Pinchasel got into a fight. We never knew this all our life. Can you imagine? Our whole life, no one ever knew this story until at a Hanukkah Mesiba of Scheinberg, Zatzal mentioned this at a Mesiba. He was talking about the Nisim of Hanukkah. And then he said, and this happened to me. When I was 9 years old, I was in public school. And I got into a fight because some Italians picked on me. And they ganged up on me and they knocked me down a flight of stairs and they knocked me out. The principal saw this, and he called the father. His father came down, he saw what happened, and he said, I didn't bring you over from Europe for this. And he took him out and he put him into RJJ, which was the only yeshiva at that time. My grandfather then said, the Nes of Chanukah, he thanks the Italians for knocking him out. Who knows what would have become of me if I stayed in public school? He was a regular boy. He liked to play ball. He was called Lefty Sheinberg. He liked to play ball, handball, baseball. And there was a Jew at that time. Siyata Shmai, this goes to the Mesiris Nefesh of his mother. You know, he used to sell newspapers. They were so poor. And even though his father had a store, but it was very meager living. And he was selling newspapers on Delancey Street to try to make a little money for the family. 10 years old. There was a holy Jew at that time by the name of Rabbi Herman. He was Mr. Herman, really. He was a balabas. But it bothered him that a lot of kids are playing a lot of ball, and even though they went to yeshiva, but afterwards they spent a lot of time playing. And he felt, maybe I could do something with these kids. So he took a group of boys. Who were they? One was Chaim Pinchas Sheinberg. Another one was Nussan Wachtvogel. And one was Kaplan, who later made the Beis Yaakov in America. And Rav Zon. I mean, there was different young boys. Victor Miller. And he wanted to get them together and he started teaching them Agadat Avin Yaakov and Mesilas Yesharim. And he got them to love to learn. People don't realize, all for the boss, what he was instrumental, the gedolim that he caused that there should be, is unbelievable. And when Chaim Pinchas became 14, he finished elementary school. Now it was time for him to go to high school. Rav Herman saw, he taught with him, that he has a thirst for learning. No. He could do better than high school. I want him to go to one place that is like a yeshiva katana that has no limudei chol. He is special. And that was in New Haven. And the Rosh Yeshiva there was Rabbi Levenberg. I think there's a grandson, Rabbi Chil Levenberg, that was in England. So his grandfather, Rabbi Levenberg, had a yeshiva in New Haven, special for boys, instead of that they were able to learn a whole day. So Rabbi Herman said, I want you to go to this school. He said, but my father wants me to go to high school. You know what? In the middle of the night, I'll send you off by train over there. I'll take care of your father later. Won't tell him, and it'll just go. Now, he could not go without saying goodbye. See, he wasn't so close to he was close to his father, but, you know, his mother was with him all the years. So he couldn't go without saying goodbye to his mother. And he made a deal with his mother. He said, Shalom Bayis, I'll make believe you have my blessings, but I'm going to make believe I don't know about it. So your father shouldn't have tainas on me. So he went off. And in the beginning, of course, his father was upset. Because, you know, in America, everyone goes to high school. but Rabbi Herman settled him down. But it's unbelievable. Rabbi Herman, he was 14 years old. He came to his house after he sent him off. He had a daughter, Bessie, who's 12 years old then. So he sent him off to New Haven, went back in the house, and he said, spoke to Adel, that was his wife. And he said, Adel, I have a chassan for Bessie. I just sent him off to New Haven. Meaning he saw already who this boy, because he was teaching them for 2-3 years, and he saw this prodigy. Now, we never knew this also, but we came to England, and we saw Rabbi Chiel Levenberg. And Rabbi Chiel told us, he was there in New Haven for 2.5 years, till 16 and a half. When he left, they made a Mesibas Preda, a going away party. And Rav Scheinberg surprised, he was a young boy, he was very young. His grandfather's yeshiva, he was very young. But his father told him that the Mesibas Preda, Rav Scheinberg made a Siyam al Shas. Then in 2.5 years, he learned the whole Shas Kulay. He was such a masmid. Then he went out, and then he went to Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, because his mother, father wanted to get a high school diploma, so he did some courses, and he learned there. And then, when he was 19, he became a chassan to Rabbi Herman's daughter. Now, he became a chassan in Hanukkah time. So his mother told him, I don't want you to get married until you have smicha. You know, because you're only 19, she's 17. So she thought it'll take time, and he promised her, I'm not getting married till I have smicha. Oh, so she felt good, the time, you know, long engagement, everything fine. He learned all Yaradeya smicha in 3 months. And the chasana was right after Purim. Like, she had given his word, when you get smicha, and under the chuppah, he got a smicha from Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. That they gave him the smicha under the chuppah. Later on, he got smicha also. That will say soon a story with the Baruch Bear. But at that time, he got smicha from Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. A month after that, right after Pesach, his father-in-law sent him to Europe to learn in the Mir. The Mir, now you have to understand, the Mir was so primitive. It had no running water. You had to take buckets of water from outside. There was no such thing as a sink. There were no bathrooms. Someone gave the Rebbetzin, she told me, they gave her as a wedding present, a steam iron. She was so happy. Oh, I'll be able to iron my clothes. She came to the mirror. When she plugged it in, she knocked out the electricity of the whole mirror. Because all the electric lights were open sometimes during the day and there were 5 watts. And this was 100 watts and knocked out the electricity of the whole mirror. Just to understand how primitive it was. After my grandfather came to Europe 3 months later, he went to the Chofetz Chaim in 1930 to get a bracha. Chofetz Chaim was hard of hearing. So, someone, a Talmid, someone, a Shamish, screamed in the Chofetz Chaim's ear, Rebbe, a couple came from America to learn Torah in the Mir. Now everyone thought that the Chofetz Chaim would be surprised. Everyone was running to America at that time. No one came from America back to Europe. That was unheard of. So they thought that the Chofetz Chaim would be impressed. But the Chofetz Chaim said, no. He said in Yiddish, what's the godless? If Hashem could come down all the way from the heavens to give it Torah, why can't you come from America to learn Torah? But he said, for that Mesiris Nefesh, he'll have good children. Because she was pregnant at that time. At that time, the Rebbetzin was nauseous. She went to a window and she threw up. And the Chofetz Chaim said, don't worry, it's a healthy sickness. It's all right. It's a healthy crank. But he gave a bracha that she should have wonderful children. And she was pregnant with my mother-in-law, the oldest daughter from Rachel. And that Baruch Hashem, she is known all over, the shiurim that she gives, the chizik that she gives everyone. Mamish, a special bracha from the Chofetz Chaim. My grandfather was there 5 years. And Rav Lezer Yudel Finkel, the Shiva of the Mir at that time, told Talmidim later that the biggest masmid who ever crossed the doors of the Mir Yeshiva in Europe was Rav Scheinberg. The biggest masmid there ever was in the history of the Mir Yeshiva in Europe. People could have a small yeshiva in America, they'd say he's a big masmid, but there were giants in the Mir, and he was considered, his nickname was called Rav Chaim Masmid. That's how he was known in the yeshiva, Rav Chaim Masmid. There was one. Now, just to give a small example, just to give what this meant, Hasmada. Usually, the best boys of the Mir, Rabbi Yerucham, the Mashgiach Zatzal, used to send boys to the Briska Rav in Brisk to learn by the Briska Rav. And they would stay there for a few months and get the Briska Derech. So at one time, he came to Chaim Pinchas that he should also go to the Briska Rav. And he came there for Shabbos. And later on in life, we heard from the Briska Rav's daughter, who was married to Michal Feinstein in Eretz Yisrael. She said the house never saw such hasmud in their life. I remember there was a Talmud who went to Brisk. In Brisk, they used to have like a Chumash Shir, Motzei Shabbos. And Rav Beryl, who was the Brisker Rav's son, spoke about, you know, different hashkafa. And sometimes he spoke about hashkafa, about so-called Rabbanim who did strange things and what he felt about it. And one person shot up and said, and what about Rav Scheinberg with his tzitzis? Rav Beryl got red in the face and banged his hand on the table and he said, Rabbi Scheinberg was by my father for one Shabbos. Shut up. And they never knew what that meant, but the love that they saw by Rav Scheinberg, the Asmoda, they never saw anything like that in their life. But after a few days, he went home. He went back to the Mir, and Rabbi Yerucham wondered, why is he coming back after 4 days? I want you to stay there for a while. Till he cornered him. And he said, why did you go back? He didn't want to answer until finally he cornered him. You must tell me, why did you go back? So he said, I tell you that the minig is in the Mir, by the Briska Rav, they learn, and then when it comes time to shear, they go up in his house and they set the chairs to have shear. And it takes about 10 minutes. I'm chayshish for the bittul Torah of that 10 minutes. So Rav Yerucham told him, don't worry, you don't have to go to Brisk, you'll shtag the same here. You don't have to go there. You'll shtag the same, you'll have siyata d'shmaya. This was just the beginning. He was there for 5 years, but this was just the beginning. It's late, I can go on for hours. But Lilu Nishmas, my grandfather, now we understand, we see such mesiris nefesh. And this is what I said before, kimu v'kiblu ha-yehudim. That what Das Torah was, yes, a tzaddik, that is meiser nefesh for Torah. We can't, his asogas of hasmoda and Torah is beyond comprehension. I used to go with him the last 15 years that he traveled around. I used to ask him, why are you traveling so long? How long are you going to keep on traveling? He said, until 100, it's fine. And the last time he went to Chutz Lars was a month after he was 100. That was it. That was the last time. But whenever I would go with him, the Baal HaBos would ask, do you want anything? So he says, yeah, I want ivory soap. So I looked at my grandfather and he said, why do you need ivory soap? Any soap is good. So he gave me like a little love, like a smack. He says, you don't understand. It lathers faster. I gain a few minutes on every washing. Meaning all he cared about, his whole mindset was to save time. To save time. Time is so precious, to save time. Be'ez Hashem, we should all learn the value of time and what you can accomplish in the time that we have. And it should be a ilu neshama, that it should be that he should be a good, better for Klal Yisrael in these turbulent times, and he should be zoicha to the Geula Shleima b'karav v'yameinu.